Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
It's a sermon I preached a long time ago. But if you fail, you still have a future. If you fall, you still have a future. If you sin, you still have a future. And best of all, if you'll stay with Christ, when you die, you're going to have a big future. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to the word of the Lord, if you would, with me. I'm excited about preaching, as I always am. I've got people that every week I give them sermons to preach, and they tell me, and I just don't have anything to preach. I don't understand that. I put dozens of sermons together. Many of them, most of them, I never, ever preach. I just like to preach, and I'm like my good friend Jonathan Stringfellow. If nobody else enjoys it, I sure do. Let's turn to the word of the Lord, if you would, with me. Praise God. And let's talk about what God wants to talk about. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today on the subject, Christian privilege. Christian privilege. We hear a lot about that word privilege today. It simply means a right, an immunity, or benefit enjoyed only by a person beyond the advantages of most. The privileges of the very rich. A special right or exemption granted to persons in authority or office to free them from certain obligations or liabilities. That's what the definition of privilege is. We hear about white privilege, wealth privilege, athletic privilege, talent privilege, star privilege, beauty privilege. They say if you're beautiful, particularly if you're a beautiful woman, that you always get privilege. I don't know about that. That's what they say. Beauty privilege, celebrity privilege, political privilege, and dozens of more. America has a history of Christian privilege. Some of us that are ultra-conservative Christians might not acknowledge that privilege, but America has had a history of Christian privilege, just as other countries now and in the past have enjoyed a Muslim privilege or a Hindu privilege, whatever the majority population is. But I'm not talking today about the national Christian privilege. I'm talking about something even more incendiary than that. To the political correct mind, to those that just resent the fact that we are Christians. I'm talking about a God that declares he is no respecter of persons, a God who loves the world, who is perceived to be unbiased, benefactor to all creation. That God, I can show you in his most holy Bible, that God has established himself unabashedly, predisposed to grant favor, or in modern vernacular, Christian privilege to the true converts to Christianity over the rest of creation. What are you saying? God favors some people. And that's proven by the scripture, and it's proven by people's lives. The privilege of a Christian compared to a non-Christian according to the Bible are unfathomable. We are saved not by our goodness, but by Christ's righteousness assigned to us by faith. Which brings me to the controversial conclusion that I came to years ago and said it many times, and the congregation always stiffens up on me, but it's true regardless of what you think. This conclusion is there will be some better people that are lost than some of the people that go to heaven. Because God is not grading on a curve. And you don't go to heaven because you are good. You go to heaven because you're saved. And God said your righteousness, your best effort to him is as filthy rags. It simply can't measure up. So the only way that we can be saved is not because we're better than somebody else. It's because we are washed in the blood of Jesus. We are saved by the blood of Jesus, nothing else. Which has not put me in the behavior doesn't matter crowd. I've heard preachers preach on Christian doctrine and say, behavior doesn't matter. Friend, why do you think that the epistles were written? It's all about Christian behavior. Behavior does matter. All of the epistles are written about Christian behavior. The Bible indicates God doesn't waste word or ink when he is assuring us that he expects us to behave in a certain lifestyle. Let's look at Christian privilege. The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God. It was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That's an amazing thing when heaven records that you are God's friend. Not many people in the Bible had that epitaph, that they were the friend of God. I am a friend of God. Not lest we have received the imputed righteousness of God, we're not the friend of God. The Bible teaches this world has enmity with God. In other words, the world is an enemy of God. The only way that you become a friend of God is imputed righteousness. What does that mean? That means righteousness that has been assigned to you by Jesus Christ himself, that took your position and your place and your sins and said, now, don't count their sins on them, count them on me. The Romans and the Jews have argued for years about who crucified Christ. The truth is, the Bible said in Isaiah 53 that he was crucified of God. God took out his vengeance on Christ because he loved you. And those that will receive Christ get the free pass. Let's look at that Christian privilege. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The very seed of racism is found in the ignorance of not understanding salvation. Because once you understand salvation is by grace through Christ, you realize, bond or free, Jew or Gentile, brown, black, yellow, white, it means nothing. Because the only thing that matters is that you are in Christ. The Bible is vividly clear that Christian privilege not only exists, but God is unashamedly partial to Christians. He is openly obvious with promise and performance to Christians and Christians alone, declaring that non-Christians need not expect answer to their prayers. This is a seldom used verse, but it is one of the most potent verses in the Bible. John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Wow. Jesus didn't say that. That was said to Jesus by a man, and Jesus did not correct him or contradict him. He let it go. We know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. There is the discrimination. There is the Christian privilege. Let's look at what the Bible and what I believe is the number one Christian privilege. The number one thing. There are so many privileges to being a Christian, but this is the number one. The man that was healed at the temple. Remember him? The Bible said he was lame from his mother's womb. Peter and John came walking along. He was asking alms of them. They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. They took him by the hand. The Bible said as they did, he stood up. His ankles received strength. Remember, he had been lame from his mother's womb. He immediately went walking and leaping and praising God in the temple. There was two reasons why he was praising God. Obviously, he was thankful he was healed. But secondly, he was praising God because he had never been in that temple before. Because he was prevented and prohibited from being there because of his lameness. There was a time where you could not get to God. Sin always kept you out. But when Jesus Christ came, we're like the lame man, walking and leaping and praising God because we now have access. He no longer had to be carried. He gained independence. He was granted total freedom. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Ephesians 2:12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Aliens. Are you at all concerned about our southern border? I am not a politician, so God did not call on me to make those decisions. We are going, I think it's May the 23rd, the restrictions that were put in place are going to be lifted, and thousands, if not millions, of people are going to flood across our southern border. I think it's May the 23rd. So what do you think about that? I don't think about that, because that's not what God called me to do. If God wanted me to deal with that, I'd be a governor, I'd be a border guard, I'd be a president. God called me to preach the gospel because I see both sides of every issue. I see America as our infrastructure is going to be overloaded. I also see the people that are trying to flee their poverty and some states for their very life to get into the great United States of America. So I see it all. But all I know is they are aliens without a place, without hope, and they're trying to come to America, the land of opportunity. Well, there's a greater problem than that, and it is the people that are aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, the Bible said. People that are simply not saved. So he said, at one time, number one, you were without Christ. Number two, you were aliens from the commonwealth. Number three, you were strangers from promise. Number four, you had no hope. Number five, you were without God. That's where Christ found me. Those five problems were mine. But one day, a little 10-year-old boy heard a preacher without too much education preaching, and it hit my heart. How in the world could I be saved? But I was gloriously saved. In the Bible, there's the story of Christ dying on the cross. And when he died on the cross, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the tabernacle, the veil that separated that, only the priests could go there. That veil was rent from the top to the bottom. And there was symbolism showing that at this point in time, you would not need a physical priest, an earthly priest, because Jesus Christ, with his death, his burial, and his resurrection, opened up heaven to you, and we were granted the number one Christian privilege, and that is that we were granted access. Ladies and gentlemen, I talked about it a few moments ago. Just walking into this place when people are praising God, if you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you understand that the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, literally comes to Living Way Church and inhabits our praise. And we have access to his presence. At one time, we were denied that. But now in Christ Jesus, he said, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do we understand the privilege of access as a Christian? That when you fail, you fall, you sin, you make mistakes, you're hurting, you're lonely, you have iniquities, you have problems, that you do not have to call somebody in the middle of the night. You don't have to make an appointment with a priest. You don't have to go to a confessional. That you simply get on your face and say, Jesus. And when you do, you have access. You have access. His mercy is fresh every morning. For every failure and every sin and every falling, he has made restitution to the Father by his death. And so we are free. We were afar off, but now we are made near. By whom also, he said in Romans 5:2, we have access by faith unto this grace whereby we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter who gets mad at you. It doesn't matter what they think of you. It doesn't matter if they're biased or they're prejudiced. It simply doesn't matter because you have now accepted the gospel of Christ. You have received a name that is above every name. A name wherein the whole body of God in heaven and on earth is named. And when you say Jesus Christ of Nazareth, all angels stand at attention. All demons shrink in fear, because the God of the universe is now attentive to your need. And praise God, you have access by faith. And then the Bible said in Ephesians 2:18, through him both we have access by one spirit. I've got access by faith. I've got access by the Holy Spirit. No more a stranger, he said. No more a foreigner. No more an alien, but a citizen of the kingdom of Almighty God. How it must feel to those that flee these third world countries, where they are destitute, where they don't have enough to eat, where they go to sleep at night in fear of their life, and they get to the United States, however they get here, across the Rio Grande, in an airplane, by a raft, by some way they get here, and they finally obtain citizenship. They don't have to hide at night. They don't have to hide in the shadows, but they've got a citizenship. How that must feel. Well, ladies and gentlemen, no matter how grateful they are, it cannot compare to the gratitude that I have for the fact that I was once afar off, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, I have access by faith. I have access by the Spirit of Almighty God. And he said, not only do you have access, but he continues in Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him. Not only do you have access, but you have boldness and confidence. Praise God. You are not sitting in the back of the bus. You don't have to sit on the back seat. You don't have to be shushed. You don't have to be quiet. Praise God, because Jesus Christ made you a citizen of heaven. It's the greatest Christian privilege that you have, is that you have access to the Father, and you do so boldly. Access with confidence and boldness. The Apostle Paul said, cast not away your confidence. If you understand the power of the gospel, if you understand the sacrifice of Christ, the power of his resurrection, you will not become boastful in your flesh, but you will become bold in your spirit. And you know, when you pray, God hears. You're not like the sinner that I read about in John a while ago. God hears your prayer. And God will answer your prayer. And with boldness you declare, I have prayed and it will make a difference. God answers my prayer. I am bold and I am confident. Now therefore let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Such a short verse. What is it saying? We have access when we have infirmities. If you're sick, you have access. Access when we are tempted, all in one verse. Access when we sin. Access when we are in the time of our need. Ladies and gentlemen, there is simply not a time where the door of heaven is closed to you if you receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Day or night, night or day, midnight hour, early morning, good times, bad times, times of weakness, times of strength, times of joy, times of sorrow, you have access to the Father, because Jesus Christ said, I am the door, and no man can shut the door that I have opened for you. Jesus is saying that to us right now. You have access. Don't let your weakness deny you access. Don't let your temptation deny your access. Don't let your failure deny your access. Don't let your sin deny your access. He said, those things that I allow condemn not myself. In other words, don't let that stop your access. And that's the reason why you come into the house of Almighty God regularly to praise God. And those of you that understand the Christian privilege of access, don't just praise God in church. I'm amazed that people that are saved can come in a Holy Ghost-filled church and sit there and not utter a peep. Doesn't something inside of you begin to turn over? Isn't there, as we used to sing, isn't there a prayer wheel that begins to move? Isn't there a response in your spirit? Ladies and gentlemen, I am convinced that when I die, I will be resurrected. What is your convincing argument that I feel inside of me something that was not there, but praise God, it was placed there by the hand of God, the self-same spirit that was in Christ, and I simply cannot hold my peace. I have to shout it out. I have to sing it out. I have to dance it out. Why? Because I know what it is to be afar off and now to be nigh. I know what it is to be an alien and now to be a citizen. And so I find a problem with churches that claim they're filled with saved people and they have a service and all they see is a performance on a stage and nothing happens in the pews. In the pews, there ought to be a quickening. There ought to be a made alive. There ought to be a shout. There ought to be a praise. There ought to be a song. I can't help it. I know the Christian privilege that God looks at me and no good thing will he withhold because I am a Christian, not because I'm white and bright, not because I have this, but praise God, because I am washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, I cannot be denied any good thing. All of heaven is at my service. Angels are standing on for my call. I am a privileged Christian, and so are you. You have been washed in the blood. Your sins have been blotted out. You don't have a record. You don't have a record. It's blotted out. Do you know what blot means? It means disappear. It don't mean a line's drawn through it. It don't mean it's just forgotten. It means it ain't there. You don't have a past. All you have got is a future in Jesus Christ. And every day if you get up, you need to shout to the top of your lungs, his mercy is fresh this morning. And any failure of yesterday will not limit me today because I have access through the blood of Jesus Christ. I am bold. I am confident that Christ is going to work through me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heal yourself. Pray for yourself. How many people in this building ever do this? In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the sickness. I rebuke the pain. I rebuke the abnormality. I am whole. I command this body to line up with the Word of God. I do that regularly because I practice on myself that so when you are sick, I lay hands on the sick and they recover, not because of who I am in the flesh, but because of who I am in Christ Jesus. Who do men say that I am? You'll never know who you are until you know who Christ is. The image of the invisible God, the sacrifice in your place. And when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus automatically changed his name. He went from a reed to a rock. He went from weakness to strength. And when you know who Christ is and what he's done for you, it will change your identity. You won't be weak anymore. You won't be afraid anymore. You won't be timid anymore. You won't be fearful. You will be bold and confident and say, I don't care who is in the White House because I know who is on the throne of God and I know what he's done for me. I don't know what's going to happen at the border. I don't know what's going to happen in Ukraine, but I know what's happening in heaven. That my Christ has made a way for me, and I'm bold as a lion, bold as a lion. Stand on your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're born with certain natures, certain personalities. I preached in Kansas City, Missouri, for my good friend Winford Black and later W.C. Park in that great church in Kansas City. We'd go out on the street every Saturday. Winford was a big soul winner. We'd take people out there and we'd knock doors. We had some big personalities. I mean, guys that were salesmen and they'd win people to Christ and bring people to church. But there was one little girl. I say girl, she's probably 20 years of age. And she was the most timid little girl you ever saw. But every Sunday, she would have more church, people in church than any of those salesmen, any of those bold people. And one day, Winfred said to me, he said, let's follow her. I just want to see what she does because she's so timid. And she knocked on the door and somebody came to the door. It was like a metamorphosis before our very eyes. This little timid girl with a very, very subdued person, she just, and all of a sudden she was standing in front of that person in their door preaching Jesus Christ to them. And they were receiving. And she was leading people to Christ by the dozens every week. And then when she'd get out of that, she'd just go back to being her normal little self. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what your personality is, but it doesn't matter. You are a Christian, and you have in you the Spirit of the Creator. You can do anything. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I want people in this building right now that are facing a challenge in their life to step out of your pew and walk to this altar and say, I receive this message. I'm going to realize that I have Christian privilege in my life, and God is going to do something that for me that he doesn't do for other people. I don't know why the past week my past secretary that's in heaven, Michelle, has been on my mind a lot. But she used to shake her head every time I'd do a little business deal for myself or the church. And she'd say, I just never seen nothing like it. She'd say, people do what you want them to do. Why is that? Friend, I'm going to tell you, you've got the same spirit that's in me, the same one that was in the Christ. The Bible said men will give unto your bosom. That's when you have the Spirit of Christ in you. You can shape your world when you acknowledge the power of Christ that is in you. There is no limitation in your flesh that can stop the power of God from working through you.